With that, I'll introduce tonight's meeting. It's a City of Belfast Special City Council Meeting, Belfast City Hall, Council Chambers. Today's date is Thursday, August 12th, 2021, 6:30 PM. Special meeting. I will now do call to order.
Mayor Eric Sanders.
Present.
Councilor Mary Montier.
Here.
Neil Harkness.
Here.
Greg Bonneville.
Here.
Michael Hurley.
Here.
Paul Dean.
Present.
And City Manager Aaron Ferrari.
Present.
Thank you very much. Look for a motion for the adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Motion from Paul, sir. Second from Brenda. Did you have something, City Manager Herbert?
I just wanted to comment that I believe the intention was to add item 10C to the agenda, which is the consideration of a resolution in order regarding meetings of city boards and committees. I would just recommend that amendment.
Yep. All right, so any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll take it to the vote. All those in favor of the amended adoption of the agenda, the motion passes 5-0. Thank you. All right. Now we are on the agenda, and that is, we're going to start with the presentation by William Kelly to give an overview. And then, just so everybody understands what we're doing tonight, I'm going to ask Bill to speak, give an overview presentation for the public record. And then we will immediately, without any comment from the council, go into the public hearing. And I'll say it now, and I'll probably say it again, hello, at the public hearing part, but everybody gets 3 minutes. And the reason is I want everybody to have a chance to speak. I'll be using a timer, of course, and I'll be as gentle as possible because I'm a nice guy, but I will be limiting time to 3 minutes per person. Whether you're pro-Nordic, anti-Nordic, neutral, or you think this is the Red Sox game, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. But in reality, it's the fairest way to be, and I pride myself on being fair. So that's when we get to the public hearing. But at this point, I would like to introduce Bill Kelly to give an overview presentation, and then we'll go into the open to the public portion. Bill?
Okay, thank you. Hello, everybody. Bill Kelly, I represent the City Council. Last time I was here, the speaker could take the mask off. Speakers to have masks on tonight. Is that what you're doing?
I prefer everybody wears a mask tonight.
Okay. So if I slow down, it's because I get foggy.
That's fine. I apologize, but it's part of where we're at in the current day.
So thank you. So my comments are on behalf of the City Council. I have represented the City Council in the matters relating to the purchase of the waterfront parcel and the purchase of the Vectra parcel. So I've represented the city for the last 3.5, close to 4 years now. And so my comments are to act in a way as a voice for the council, because we've had obviously a series of meetings and discussions and documents that have been executed and amended for the past 3.5 years related to the process tonight, contemplating condemnation and taking the eminent domain. I have handed out to folks in here, and there are some on Amanda's desk and some on the side, copies of the proposed conduct order of condemnation for folks to look at. This is a legislative process in the sense that the City Council is going to be acting under certain statutes as a legislative body. And as a result of that, my comments in speaking in the way on behalf of the council are presented as part of the legislative findings. For the additional legislative findings in general format in Schedule D attached to the order of condemnation. It's important to note that we have had a process now relating to the city's attempting to purchase the waterfront parcel from the Belfast Water District since January 2018, and now more recently become the title holder of the Vectra parcel. And as a result of that, there is a tremendous public record, and we've not attempted to photocopy that for tonight. It is available and has been available to the public, but that record is voluminous, including documents that are referenced in the order of condemnation, as well as, of course, the massive planning board record over 49 meetings in 18 months. Some of those will be referenced, but they're all part of documents that the council has seen and reviewed and meetings they've watched over these past 3.5 years. That's important for context, because we are now at the 3.5 year mark, but the council is still seeking to obtain both the waterfront parcel and now clearing title in the Vectra parcel. It's obvious what I'm going to say, that there's been a massive investment of city resources in terms of council time, staff time, professional time over these last 3.5 years to get to this point. And that is part of the public exigency to proceed with eminent domain. Public exigency is at base, a fairly straightforward concept. It means there's a necessity for the takings, and it means that the council has made a rational decision to make those decisions. One thing I should mention, it's an important point that's been brought up. There has been suggestion, writings, comments, that the city council exercising eminent domain is somehow doing it pursuant to an obligation under contract. That is absolutely not true. I'll get through commenting on that as we go through some of the documents. What does the eminent domain seek to do? It seeks to resolve claims to title to the intertidal area of what has been known as the Echo Parcel, and it is now, since July 16th, been owned by the city by the Grundy Echoes. It also seeks to resolve possible claims to what has been referred to as the residential purposes understanding, which we will walk through in a moment and is referenced in the exact language in a condemnation order. And that's the language that was referenced back in 1946. The people who are referenced in Schedule B tonight I'll walk everybody through that in just a second. The people who are referenced in Schedule B tonight are those property owners who own a piece of the property that was originally owned by Lady and Harry Parker. That's why they have been named, because they are successors in title relating to this residential purposes language that affects the, possibly affects the Echo Parcel. So we're seeking to resolve the title claims in the title area as well as the claims of the residential purposes of the city. As a result of that, what happens if the city exercises the proposed condemnation ordinance before it is that the city essentially stands in the shoes of those property owners that are referenced in the condemnation order regarding those rights that are taken. And that would be three persons and entities referenced regarding the title area, and six people or property owners, son or husband and wife, that are affected by the residential purposes understanding. Why is this happening? It's happening because it is necessary to clear title in order to proceed to closing to purchase the waterfront parcel. It is necessary to proceed to closing to have the land that is now owned by the city at Ward Echo remain with the city due to the terms of the purchase and sale agreement executed July 9, 2021. I'll explain that when we get to that. So these are necessary to get to closing so that the Belfast Water District, the City of Belfast, and Nordic can finally engage in agreement, or come to fruition, and have a closing on the agreement that was executed in January 2018. At present, we have, frankly, no end in sight to litigation relating to these title claims. The case has been tried. COVID is coming back. The courts are way behind in proceeding. And it is part of council's belief that the exigency is necessary due to what is apparently unending litigation and appeals. Who's going to benefit from this act of condemnation? There are essentially four buckets that I'm going to reference, as does Schedule D in condemnation order. Of course, the city residents benefit because the city is intending to purchase waterfront parcel, which is the 40 acres of land that the water district owns now. It rings the reservoir of the Little River, about 26 acres in Belfast, about 14 acres in Newport, 24 acres in Belfast, and 16 in Newport. And it essentially is a 250-foot wide strip right adjacent to the water. City residents will benefit by making that property dedicated to permanent public recreational use, as well as permanent park. Second entity that Belfast, as well as the other benefit, of course, is going to be securing the waterfront metro property, which is directly across the street from the waterfront parcel. Permanent shore access, permanent park access to the public, and access to both the shorefront and also there. None of those rights are secured at present. The next entity that's going to benefit is going to be the Belfast Water District. And the statutory authority council is exercising there, if it approves the condemnation order, to benefit the Belfast Water District and its ratepayers. And I'll go through what those benefits are, both in terms of what council is finding, what the Public Utilities Commission has found, as well as some specific comments directly from the water district superintendent that were provided as comments to the public and answered questions back in 2019. The third category of who benefits the public in generally here in Belfast are greater economic benefits, the broad economic benefits that come from a $500 million investment, the construction jobs, the jobs for the facility, the investment that others will have to provide support services to this Nordic project over time. The whole facility has to be maintained, as well as, of course, tax revenues. Keep in mind that if this is a $500 million project and we're a 1, 2, or 3 mil rate, you can do the math. That's a substantial amount of taxes, at least $4 million a year, assuming that the real property is assessed at $200 million, for example. By the assessing office. That's a raise of rate, but that's another benefit to public focus. And finally, of course, there is an ancillary benefit that Nordic will receive with regard to this taking. The benefit is to put pipes under the Echo property, both the upland and the intertidal area. It's important to note that the case law in the Maine is really clear that an ancillary benefit to a private party does not meet all the other public purposes. Public uses and public exigencies no longer valid. There's a context for taking this frequently. And that context frequently involves a private entity. And that is part of our context. No hiding the eight ball, no apology for it. Part of what is necessary in order to close, to purchase the waterfront parcel, and to clear title and have permanent public park access and ownership of the airport parcel. So that's why we're here. That's who benefits. That's a little bit about eminent domain. I want to take a moment in terms of context, because as I mentioned, with the public exigency requirement that the council has, which is basically finding a rational reason for necessity to take this property, to take these particular interests and to serve public purposes, it is important to note briefly. Some of this is referenced in Schedule D in the condemnation order, but I think it's important for the public to follow the amount of events, time, and expenditures of city resources that have been involved. So January 2018 was the date that the City Council, the Water District, and Nordic entered into the agreement to purchase of a city the waterfront parcel. Importantly, provided the opportunity for the Water District to serve many of its public purposes and benefits. In April 2018, the council amended the comprehensive plan and the zoning ordinance to allow aquaculture uses. In April of 2018, the town of Northport was asked to waive rights to purchase the property located in Northport, that roughly 16 acres of waterfront parcel ringing around the Northport side of the reservoir. They have that right because there's a statute and rules at the Public Utilities Commission that says when public utilities such as the Water District seeks to sell land, they have to offer it to the community in which the land is located. At a town meeting in Northport, they voted not to purchase that land. In spring and commencing in the spring and completing it in June of 2018, the Public Utility Commission received the petition from the Water District that reviewed the sale, it approved the sale, importantly approved the water purchase agreement That is a significant component of one of the benefits that the water district is to receive. I'll reference that in a few minutes in terms of what they are. The Public Utilities Commission, in its approval, cited the references that the water district had made as to the direct and indirect benefits that the water district and its ratepayers would receive as a result of this sale. And then the Public Utilities Commission also noted that the sale would also provide the Little River Trail access to the city of Belfast residents permanently, and it also referenced a lot of the long benefits. So those were the, that is within the Public Utilities Commission approval in June of 2018. That document is also referenced in exclusive D for the foundation. In the fall of 2018-19, the city sued over whether or not it had the right to make the amendments to both the comprehensive plan and the land use ordinances to novel agriculture use. And that suit went on through roughly July of 2019, at which time the court approved that the rule to order that the city's process of amendments has been correct. Shortly thereafter, in the fall of 2019, roughly, there was a suit filed related to the ownership of the entire area of the Echo property, and as well as the public purposes, I'm sorry, residential purposes understanding. And that suit was tried in June of this year, and there is no result of that suit. From June of 2019 to December 2020, over about an 18-month period, there were roughly 49 meetings from the planning board regarding the review and approval of the 5 permit applications that Nordic had made related to its uses that were requested, and those were approved in December 2020. Roughly about the same time, the approvals were obtained from the other state agencies relating to water, air, environmental, wetland protections, and requirements of the application. Also, what was approved was a submerged land lease to the department of the state of Maine to allow the use of the pipes to go for both intake and outflow. That all roughly included about 2020, December 2020. That was important because the planning board had to review some of those findings as well. That takes us through the next important document. I should note that the original closing from the January 2018 purchase and sale agreement for the city to purchase the waterfront parcel at 40 acres was intended to close in just a few months after signing that. And of course, we're now 3.25 years into that. So in April 21, the document called the Fourth Amendment was signed. And that was a document that was signed between the water district, the city, and Nordic. And what it did was look at the reality that we were 3.25 years in, and the city and the water district and Nordic had certain responsibilities allocated to them. The water district agreed to extend the time to sell the property because it had expired. It was about to expire. It had done so, by the way, on three previous occasions, as part of the first 3 minutes. Of the January 2018 purchase and sale agreement. The city committed to making best efforts, reasonable efforts, to clear title to the intertidal area so we could get to closing, because we can't get to closing until that title is cleared. The city can't buy its 40 acres. The city can't retain the Echo parcel until that happens. City agreed in the Fourth Amendment to use up to the $120,000 that it previously committed to in the purchase and sale agreement in 2018 to use those funds to help clear the title up to that amount. Those funds in the January 2018 document, purchase and sale agreement, essentially provided for the city to have some skin in the game, so to speak, and help offset some water filtration and water purification process won't reach the Nordic site. Importantly, in the Fourth Amendment, the Water District received an additional pledge of $222,000 to be paid by water because of the delays and increased costs in construction. As a result of that Fourth Amendment and the city's obligation to start to make some efforts conjointly with Nordic, but primarily with the city engaged an appraiser to value the real property interests of both the intertidal area claims as well as this residential purposes understanding. That appraiser was engaged in roughly May of 2021. His name is Ken Charest from Charest Appraisal. He was engaged to conduct an entirely independent evaluation of those interests. As a result of that, we received the appraisal back roughly in first week of July 2021. And in that appraisal, he had valued those interests in terms of their fair market value. On July 8, 2021, the council authorized the offers to be sent to all of those individuals who are essentially named in tonight's condemnation order. There are three individuals that are no longer named in the condemnation order that were sent offers. One accepted the offer, which was a person with a 3% interest as a possible heir to Harry Bartley. The second had no relationship with Harry Bartley, was removed. Then a third had passed away, and that allowed for the person who did accept the check to be paid because she was in care of the person. So what we have left are the three entities and people who have offers presented after if this condemnation order is signed for the intertidal area, and six people to receive payments under the residential purposes understanding. Additionally, on July 8, 2021, the council authorized execution of a purchase and sale agreement with Nordic. As a result of that purchase and sale agreement, the city received on July 16 the deed to the Ecro property, both upland and intertidal from the Ecros. And that has now been recorded. And additionally, the city authorized the offers to be made at that time. And the offers were sent out roughly on July 12th, and the only person who accepted, I've already described, was one possible heir of Harry Bartley. No one else accepted the offer within the period of time the offers were pending. The offers expired on July 22, 2021. As a result of those efforts under the Fourth Amendment, the declared title, hiring the appraiser, taking offers, the council met on July 27, 2021, in an executive session to discuss the next steps under the terms of the Fourth Amendment. As a result of that meeting, a council meeting occurred on August 3rd, at which time the notice of intent to condemn the property interests was authorized, that was posted in places that are required under the statute, which was at the premises of the upper property, which is 282 Northwood Avenue, here in City Hall, as well as on the city website. I also sent FedEx packages directly to each of the individuals referenced in the condemnation order tonight. Not required, but sent them specific FedEx packages for actual notice. And that brings us to this evening. So, that's the context of how we got in. The order of condemnation that is before the council is every man. Could you scroll to page 1, please? Yeah, I'm going to go all start with the 13 pages. There are copies of this in the hallway and more up here. And then we go. I can't see the top. There we go. All right, so the first page of the order of condemnation states that this is an act of pursuant to these statutes that identifies in two schedules, Schedule A and Schedule B, those folks I just referenced, Schedule A, the folks who are We have claims to the entire area, Schedule B, those are claims on residential purposes on the street. And each of them identified in terms of the name of the owner, that's type of lot number they live at or own, and their open page references. Page two of the order at the bottom describes the statutory authorities that the city is proceeding under, and both Schedule A and Schedule B, and the fact that these postings were completed on August 4th, 2021. As on page three, this order is drafted, assuming adoption for consideration tonight. Public hearings conducted today, and what it indicates is that the damages were to be paid as described in exhibit in schedule C, and additionally that the council adopted certain legislative findings as attached in schedule D, which I will go through in a moment. Indicating that public exit to the city, the ability to purchase property rights at fair market value, authority to put curative actions to protect the title. Services for confirmation. The board speaks for itself in terms of when the resolve order and appropriated the second reading in this way from this charter. Part of the motion. So moving on to Schedule A. Schedule A is right there. Schedule A is what the statute requires. It just requires a meets and bounds description of the legal title area. As it is, and identifies the three folks one more time for clarity as to whom these takings will be obtained from. The next page after Schedule A description is what's identified in exhibit in Schedule A as Exhibit 1, which is a depiction of the intertidal area. Which at the time it was drafted was still in the name of General Metro and Richard Metro. And the description that we just went through describes that portion described as the intertidal zone, which is really in the center and has the black lines around it. Statute requires, it's not only required a depiction, it requires a description, but we've got a depiction there as well. So go to Schedule B to explain that taking. Schedule B is the residential purposes understanding table. And in the middle of, sort of the second full paragraph with quotes around it, it says, I'll read this because this is the language that is found in a deed from Harriet Hartley to Fred R. Poor in 1946. So she conveyed it to him and she put this in the deed. The lot or parcel of land here in the spread, conveyed to Fred Poor with the understanding is to be used for residential purposes only, and that no business for profit is to be conducted there unless agreed to by Harry and Hartley prepares as signs. Whether or not this does or does not apply to pipes going under the ground, whether or not it still is in effect, is it being litigated in this question, whether or not it's particular to Harry Hartley, what exactly is an understanding? Does it follow the restricted covenant? Does it use some of the language that we would see or a pertinent right to retain? It's ambiguous to some extent. So the proper thing to do from a city council perspective is to make sure that this is not going to be impeded and that it is condemned and damage is paid. And then the list of the six property owners is attached to that, to whom that applies. Schedule C is, as it states, the reasonable valuation damages to be paid. It identifies both Schedule A damages. This is based on the appraisal from Mr. Charest, which is on the public website that's been provided, the city's public website. And these are the values that Mr. Charest attributed to the various claimants. For Jeffrey Mabee and two of the places, it's $4,000. These folks conveyed a conservation easement, which was then assigned regarding the funds of the Harriet Hartley Conservation Area. This easement includes the area of the Metro Intertidal Parcels. The appraiser determined that because of the conveyance of the conservation easement of the name aspect of it. Because of the conveyance of the conservation easement by Mr. Megan and Ms. Grace, they retained very little interest in the property and valued that at $4,000. The valued interest of the Perry Common Conservation Area at $36,000 based on the scope of what was described in the conservation easement. Importantly, those two numbers add up to $40,000. That is what the appraiser describes as being the value of an intertidal area on the free market. What is the property, property worth with it? What is the property worth without it? It was a $30,000 difference based on market sales. $1,200 would be paid to Ms. Mankin because she's also an additional 3% arguably owner in the best case scenario of making sure there are no claims out there. And that would only be based on certain interpretations of the property fee and method purposes. The second part of this schedule is related to the monies to be paid to each of the persons who have this residential purposes understanding. I want to read a brief excerpt from the appraisal. So basically, the appraiser came to the conclusion that he didn't attribute any value to the residential purposes understanding. And he did that on the basis that, so they have that one in particular in front of me, that the, not I did. Here's what he said: use restriction claim. The appraiser, which is not a word, he describes as that instead of the residential purposes understanding. The appraiser has also been asked to estimate the value of the residential purposes language as it pertains to the subject's planned use of the Echo property by Nordic Aqua Funds, easement for the folks, and the city of Belfast. But as discussed earlier in the report, the highest and best use of the property is vacant and available for some type of residential development. This would require providing access roadway, one or more driveways, utilities, site work, concrete foundations, and buildings. Even if only one home was constructed, the anticipated construction time from beginning to end would be considerably more than the proposed intake discharge pipes. It should be noted that the construction of the intake discharge pipes over the Echo property will be underground for the complete remediation. That will leave the property in the same physically and environmental condition as it was before construction. Based on this, it is the appraiser's opinion that there is no additional value of the enjoyment of this residential purposes language as it pertains to the property interest in the property. He put $0 to council feeling like in order to take by eminent domain, there should be some nominal damage, has increased this and is going to pay damages of $500 to each of these folks over and above what the appraiser suggested. Final schedule attached here to is Schedule D. Schedule D, as it says, is an outline of certain legislative findings. My comments are also legislative findings. First paragraph in particular identifies the options and purchase agreement from January 30, 2018, which I've already described, as well as the fact that it was amended to the Fourth Amendment. So the council hereby notes, or the last sentence says, hereby notes and the recitation, facts, and obligations of the parties in the Fourth Amendment to evaluation agreement and options of purchase agreement as it fully set forth therein. We're not going to read all of those recitations in the Fourth Amendment, but they're important. Because again, they were adopted in April of 2021, 3 and 4 years after the city was trying to purchase the development also. Paragraph 2 describes what I've already gone through in terms of April and October 2018, the significant staff time and resources invested in the formal process. Paragraph 3 recites the lawsuit I've already referenced. Paragraph 4 references the Public Utilities Commission approval, which I described a bit above in my prior comments. Importantly, the Public Utilities Commission also approved the water supply agreement by and between the Belfast Water District. And then the Public Utility Commission specifically reviewed the following specific direct benefits, which were stated by the Water District and cited by the Public Utilities Commission.
One of the public benefits of the water district's own team to purchase as a result of the sale of the land. And these include upgrading its infrastructure, keeping rates as low as possible for ratepayers, being able to bring a third well online, being able to move and build new facilities and headquarters to a more favorable location. Present water district is in several units also of land and city homes. It's going to reduce floating costs. It's going to potentially divest the lower ground and this existing facility to utilize building. Importantly, when the references to upgrade its infrastructure, that is a significant part of the benefits that the water district will receive because of the water supply agreement. I'm going to reference that in just a second from a document that is known as approval. So the Public Utility Commission also referenced the additional interim benefits served by the water district to benefit the water district, including the city of Belfast maintaining the Little River Trail. The proceeds of land sales would be bound to the benefit of the ratepayers, which is a quote that the Public Utilities Commission put in. Next paragraph references that North Court, of course, approved the vote. 16 acres there. The Public Utilities Commission found that the sale of land to the city of New York was not adverse to the public interest and was not inconsistent with the interests of the ratepayers. Council is hereby in this document noting and supporting these facts considered by the PUC and its findings that consisted with the public benefits, public purposes, and current public uses of the Belfast Water District and the city's waterfront parcel. Now, what are these benefits in some specific terms directly provided by the Water District in a letter in March of 2017. This is in tab 10 of volume 1 of the Nordic Aqua Farms application to the planning board. So what he said was that the sale of the property would have to generate enough money to allow the water district to move its operation without any cost to the customers, and this sale price did that. The sale price is about $1,059,000. In addition, the city pays $100,000 for its waterfront parcel. The water supply and purchase agreement, as the pool stated, will supply up to 262 million gallons of water annually to New York aquifers. And Nordic has agreed to pay for a minimum of 100 million gallons of water annually from the district at the same rate our customers pay for the first 6 years, regardless of whether they use any of that water or not. They also agree to pay the Belfast Water District for the first 100 million gallons of the 6-year contract at closing. So at closing, in addition to $1 million, there's an additional $287,500 that will be paid to the Water District up front. Now, Mr. Fuller went on to say, in terms of the benefits, that of the 100 million gallons mandatory that Nordic must pay for, whether they use it or not, that's a cost at current rates of $287,500 additional monies to the water district annually. What's significant, he wrote, was that the cost of the water district to produce this $287,500 was just $25,000. In short, the net revenue from the water supply agreement with Miller nets the water district an additional $262,500. Year. Present water rates allow for $190,000 worth of improvements to be made annually in the entire system. So pre-Nordic water supply agreement, we had about $190,000 a year of work. It cost $687,000 for 1 mile of water. So I did the math. If they have a budget of $190,000 for improvements, they get an extra $262,500. They immediately have a boost of $138,000 of additional net funds that could be used for additional infrastructure at no cost. No additional cost would charge to the ratepayers. So those are some specific numbers of what this means, including, you know, not a small matter that this This sale of the water supply agreement to the water district will allow me to bring the third goal online for significant more capacity as well, should there be any other needs for economic opportunities in the city. Paragraph 5 states, it references, it's part of the public agency and the rational basis here. Keep in mind that prior to April 2019, which is 14 months after the city executed the agreement to buy the waterfront parcel, there had never been any claim against the Echoes regarding the Echoes. As one of the landowners stated in the Republican Journal article, he was unaware of any type of a claim until he was made aware of such a claim by an attorney from up in the block. April 2019, the conveyance was made as well to the conservation area from the moving basis. Paragraph 6 describes the 2019 title deed lawsuit that the that litigation continues, and that suit has created those claims in the intertidal area, as well as the residential purposes language, a significant delay opportunity for the city of Baltimore also. Paragraph 8 just referenced the facts that that the appraisal was obtained, and those entities that are named in the condemnation order have not agreed to accept the fair market value offered by the city within the time frames the city was requested. Paragraph 8 references the fact that on July 9, 2021, pursuant to consisting of the Fourth Amendment, this purchase agreement was signed with Mort, which resulted in the deeds into the city in book 4697, page 157, and book 4697, page 160. That is the deed from Necro and the deed from Nordic for all of the heirs of Parish Harbor who they had obtained interest from. As part of the argument that the city is bound contractually to do this energy main process, which is not true, I want to just reference something as part of this July 9, 2021 agreement. City Council is electing to pursue the energy domain on its own. The way this July 9, 2021 agreement is structured, the Eckroats have provided deeds to the city. The city has provided a deed back to North Harbor Farms, who paid for the Eckroats to provide a deed to the city. The city is, after, under this purchase and sale agreement, which is not required in the domain, but was done again, assuming that the Fourth Amendment obligations to purchase the real property would be fruitful by having the appraisal offers made. If the city does not clear a title, it gives the title is going to, and you cannot convey an easement to Nordic. Nordic can take the Echo property back. If the city chose to not execute the condemnation order tonight, which it can do, it has no obligation to Nordic. It has no obligation to anyone else. It simply resets the situation, and it no longer would own the XL carpet. It has elected to proceed for all the reasons I've described, and continue to describe the eminent domain because of all the public negligence and the public purposes and uses that I've already described. Importantly, as part of this plan from the council and public uses, it's necessary to reference that these two lots, the waterfront parcel on the water district side, and the now, what was that though, and now the bayshore frontage on the southerly side of Route 1, is essentially an integrated public use and access park, walkway, recreation area, passive recreation area, and they are essentially connected. I said this, I think it's akin to thinking about the area around the reservoir is like a necklace, and the tool is the waterfront parcel purchased from that point. The nearest closest public ocean access is located approximately 1.5 miles north of the Delphi City Park. Also should mention, just for the record, these folks don't know, the City of Belfast, and particularly the City Council, has had an extraordinarily aggressive and successful campaign for years to provide access trails to the public all over the city, and significant miles of it, including connectivity down the Harbor Walk and the Armistice Bridge. Its actions that tonight are consistent with the long-term process, including keeping ranchways open, having them off to the water, having them all surveyed, and continuing to expend efforts to make sure the public has access to waterfront areas. All of this land, including the shore frontage, is within the city of Belfast. Why is it necessary to say this? It's not really. But somebody took a sketch that you saw a minute ago, Exhibit 1, which was a survey, a sketch prepared by a surveyor in Rockport. They took that, drew a red line across it, and submitted it to Northport and said, Eckert doesn't own this land. It's actually in Northport. Well, one of the documents that's in the record of the planning board, and I have a copy of pass those around as a survey from Mr. Jorski, clearly showing that all of the entire area is in the city of Belfast. No one has ever been landed from Northport, no one's ever been taxed on it from Northport. The city of Belfast has taxed the airport property as the airport property with the intertidal area. So I wanted to reference, council wants to reference that, I don't want to reference that, because clearly the property being taken is locally within Belfast. Paragraph 9 references a statement that is property interest described in schedules A and B, the Echo parcel, are not used for agricultural, fishing, and forestry, or improved for residential homes, commercial, or industrial buildings. Say that again. Property as it sits, there's no agricultural, fishing, forestry, residential homes, commercial, or industrial buildings on. No one resides in a dwelling house. Why is that important? Because there's a particular statute that says there are limits that the city council must respect to exercise in their domain. And when these types of uses were existing on the airport property right now, you couldn't take by any domain. And I think those speak for themselves. The next paragraph says Belfast Water District is public utility engaged in the generation and distribution of public water supply. Why is that important? That's important because the same statute I just referenced says, and even if it's any of these other things, agriculture, fishing, forestry, residential homes, commercial, industrial buildings, yeah, that stuff's on the property. City of Belfast has the authority on behalf of the Water District to serve the Water District's public uses and public benefits by taking this. That's why paragraph 10 states what it says. Addition. Paragraph 11 says a component of the Nordic project includes the generation and transmission of water treatment and discharge of highly filtered and treated sewer water to the underground pipes in the easement area described in Exhibit D to the July 9, 2021 purchase and sale agreement. A minute ago, I mentioned that the city of Belfast, if it clears title, is obligated to provide an easement to Nordic. It's Exhibit D to the July 9, 2021 purchase and sale agreement. The statute that I've just been referencing has say for record title 1, section 816, also provides that the city has the right to take by eminent domain property of other entities, not just water districts, but water utilities that are involved in the generation and transmission of treatment, of water treatment and discharge of sewer. So the statute in terms of the exception, even if you were to find that it had agriculture, fishing, forestry, residential homes, commercial industrial buildings, there are mistaken. Wouldn't be found. There are these two provisions in paragraphs 10 and 11 that make clear that based on that statute, it does not apply to those particular public uses and purposes of that district. Paragraph 12 references the statute I was just mentioning, Title 1, Section 816, and makes it clear that there are findings of the council. The public purposes that are serving, being served by this taking are not prohibited by that statute. That's a subsection of the statute that references that, and now there's a comment for that. Paragraph 13 reinforces what has been describing that the city will integrate the waterfront parcel trail with the airport property to join significant permanent public uses and purposes in perpetuity. As a passive recreation trail, combined park access to the swamp at Permanent City Upland, entitles on access to the bay of Permanent Public Parking. But I didn't mention it as part of the purchase and sale agreement in January 2018, as amended. Over time, the city will receive permanent parking for access to the waterfront trail or to the upland. It's going to be up near the existing water district building that we're under planning board approval turn into a visitor center. So paragraph 14 states, sort of some wrap-up comments, is a public agency exists. The city's been unable to purchase the alleged rights to the alleged defects from the parties in question. The exercise of eminent domain is done solely and exclusively in the council's discretion. It's necessary to clear ongoing alleged title defects and get us to a closing between the water district and the city. Paragraph 15 is just a reference that the council is taking notice of all the public documents that have been referenced, as well as those in our public record. And that, I believe, includes my comments on behalf of the council.
Well, Bill, thank you for that thorough presentation. I appreciate it. I'm sure others do from the public.